I'll wait till after I read it to tell you about the faith that overcometh the world. Thank you, Eric. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and I want to begin reading in verse 18. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. I'm going to stop right there just for now and repeat what I said last week. I'm going to endeavor to cheer you up a little bit. Now, it doesn't seem that way necessarily from the picture, from what we read here, this section, because this is a scripture reading just full of people hating Christ. And guess what? They still hate Christ. The other thought is, they'll hate you because of Jesus Christ. This is not preached out in the world, in religious societies or buildings or whatever you want to call them. Christianity at large. They like to read what I read last week. We should love one another. Well, see, they want that to include the whole world. It doesn't. And it doesn't include the world loving you at all. Matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. And those are the words of Christ, and I'll take his over any preacher's any day. Actually, every day. They'll hate you because of Christ Jesus. Now, I know this does not sound like the most cheerful subject that you can have on a Sunday morning, but there is hope. There is hope. Three times in the New Testament, the New Testament has the phrase in it, marvel not. Now, these three times in the New Testament were all written by John. Twice, John used it quoting the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first one is John 3 and 7. It says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The second time, in John 5, 28, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now the third time, as far as I can tell, John is using this referencing basically what we read here in John 15. So in 1 John 3 and 13, he says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." It's there. It's there, and it's real. Now, as I said, just before this, Christ told them these words. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. These things I command you." We're not asked. We are commanded. To love one another as Christ loves us. Now, if you know Christ Jesus, if you know the light of the world hates you. The only thing that saves us most of the time is that the world doesn't know us. But every now and then it'll leak out. Those that believe and speak the truth of God in Christ Jesus are so few nowadays, so few. That the world, a lot of it, doesn't actually know we exist. It's kind of spooky in a way. It has become an alien thing to preach the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus. To say that before the foundation of the world, God, Christ, chose a people in Christ and then came into this world for the express purpose of saving those people from their sins, and he did it. It's accomplished. Salvation is done. The world doesn't know anything about that. They know about poor little Jesus. He's done the best he can do, and now it's up to you. They know about all kind of weird stuff, if you really want to know the truth about it. People putting up signs, billboards. Where was it, Walter? Outside Gilbert? "Let Jesus save you." I drive by and I'm yelling at the damn sign. Excuse my language. I'm yelling at that sign saying, "Who's stopping him? Who is stopping God?" No one. But they don't understand the God who saves. They don't understand the Christ who has purchased by his offering to the Father, eternal redemption for us. And that offering is never to be repeated. It is never to be duplicated. It is never to be... it'll never be seen again. He offered himself once for all. Once. And it is no great thing that the world doesn't know this, because the world hasn't heard it in years. And the world has an attention span of about a minute and a half right now. And those that do remember some of the old stuff are getting older. And there seems to be fewer of us. Now, I'm sure there are more of us than I think. I hope to God there is. But it does say, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." The world thinks we're having church just like they are. We got a piano, we sing songs, we talk about Jesus, we want people to get saved. They probably think we give an invitation. Well, we do when we preach. When the word's proclaimed, that's the invitation. If you hear him and you know him, come to him.
Amen.
You will come to him. But it is no great thing, and it's not the first time we've been called a cult before either. And it won't be the last. They think we are just like them, because that is the only frame of reference they have. That's all they have. And there is, on the radio, on the television, you'll hear a little bit. Rarely, one, two programs out of 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And most people will turn that off because that's a little weird. Believers are not like the world. Now, the world doesn't know this until they found out about it. Isaiah wrote about the difference between what the world thought and what God thinks. He said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There is a difference between what this world thinks and what really is in this world, and especially who God is. Who Christ is. Who the Holy Spirit is. Those who know God and his only begotten, well-beloved Son, are different than those who do not. Now the question is, who maketh thee to differ? It ain't you. It ain't me. It's not Walter, and it's not any preacher. It's God. It's Christ who maketh thee to differ. But Paul did write this in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Well, the answer to that is nobody. One of them rhetorical questions. Like, who maketh thee to differ? Well, it ain't you, Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And he adds this, "But we have the mind of Christ." Our thoughts are not the same as the world's thoughts. They're not. And the world doesn't understand that. Our ways sometimes are not the world's ways. Sometimes they are. We go to work. We do our jobs. We get paid. We buy groceries. We eat very well most of the time. I grow a garden in my backyard, and so do some of my neighbors, and so do some of the people I work with. That's not where the difference lies. The difference lies in the mind of Christ, in the Spirit of God, which we have been given if we know him. The life that is given to the chosen child of God, and the Spirit that comes and indwells, makes a change. And that's a good thing. That's a thing to rejoice in. But as far as this world is concerned, as far as the wicked are concerned, and that's actually the same thing, the world and the wicked, our thoughts, the thoughts of believers, are not their thoughts. Because we do have a different mind. We do have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I think back to a while back, some years ago, John Alderson preached all over this area. All over this area of the country. George Whitefield preached all over America and England this truth, that Christ saves whom he will. That God is in control of this world no matter what man thinks. But generations have come since then, they've never heard the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It used to be a much more common thing than it is. And it's one of them things that kind of make you wonder about, is this part of that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse? Because as this preaching of Jesus Christ being Lord, being God, has gone down, the elevation has gone up of what man has to do to help God save him. And it has become the prevalent, overwhelming majority of what goes on in the name of Christian religion in this world. And the hatred of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The hatred of those who speak of the words of Jesus Christ. Now, I've seen this hate close up in person. And so has Walter there. Others that are here were there when this incident took place. And some have had other encounters in other places, whether with friends, family, or church. But I started going to the church Walter grew up in. And I guess, what, about a year or so? Something like that. And Walter and I began talking. Mainly because I like to talk. And Walter likes to talk. And he was assistant pastor, young preacher at that time. So he'd meet people at the door. And we'd speak and we'd talk. And then it kind of went on. And I knew the truth of God. I didn't know it very well. I didn't know a whole lot about it. And I believe the thing I told you, Walter, was that if God did for anyone else what he had done for me, they would be saved. I still believe that, Mason. If God does for anyone what he's done for me, what he's done for any of his children, they will be saved. I didn't know at the time because God gave me life. I didn't know it was called that. I thought I was born again. That was the only definition I had at the time. And the problem is that what I ran into and what Walter ran into is that we thought other people had been born again too. And I started talking to him about the Christ that I knew as well as I could at the time. And at first he didn't like it. At first he didn't want it. But then after a while we got to talking. And that was the thing. We never quit talking. There was an interest. Even though there was a rejection at first, there was an interest. And now that whole place, he's the only one that I talk to about this. out of that whole building, which what was 100 people, something like that. Yeah, well, they had the board up on the number board, but I didn't pay no attention to that. But things changed, and Walter said one day to me that I think the things you're saying are true, something to that effect, that this is the Christ of God. And I'm telling you, my heart just went boom. Like, really? Because nobody else had. Walter started preaching it a little bit, started teaching the men's Sunday school class. And that's when the fun started. There was a blow up because I shook my head of sitting in the audience at something the preacher said out of the book of John. Talking about how God chooses his people, basically, when they believe. And I just sat there, I shook my head. And he took exception to this. I don't know why, but, you know. He took exception to this and called me on it. And I stood up and I said, I believe that Jesus Christ's people were called before the foundation of the world. They were called before they were chosen. I mean, they were chosen before they were called. And Walter stood up on the other side and also agreed. Nobody else stood up. I think there were some other people agreeing at the time, or maybe later, but nobody else stood up. And there was a lot of words behind us because we were sitting close to the front. And Walter heard some things that I didn't hear, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. Threats and whatever. And it's like, I had no wish for any of that to happen.
Right. Right.
All I wanted to do was to share Christ
right.
with some people.
Right. Yeah, right.
To fellowship.
Yeah.
Like we did last week here in the dinner afterward, in the meeting before and talking.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about Christ. It got me into trouble.
Yeah, it does.
Jesus Christ himself said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword.
Yeah.
I should have read that a little closer. And to set people at variance.
That's what he said.
That means they're against you.
Right.
And they are against you. Needless to say, that didn't end real well. And there was a guy I went up to shake hands with because, I mean, I wasn't, and this really surprises me to this day, I wasn't mad. Not in the least. Not even a little bit. I was vexed that I couldn't think of the scripture that I wanted to quote, and it wouldn't have done any good. All it would have done was prolonged the argument.
Right.
It went the way God wanted it to go.
Right.
And I told him, I went to shake a fellow's hand, and he turned around with his fist balled up.
Yeah.
And I held my hand out, and I said, I did not mean for any of this to happen. And I didn't.
Right.
And I wasn't mad. I was hurt a little bit. And I was disappointed. And actually, I pitied those people a bit. Because it wasn't me they were mad at. It wasn't me they were having a fight with. It was Christ. The Christ of the Bible, who chose his people from before the foundation of the world and saved them 2,000 years ago on a cross at Calvary, who gave up his life and took it back up again. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father expecting his enemies to be made his footstool, but he's also calling his children in when and wherever he wants to. The Holy Spirit goes whithersoever it will, and you can't tell where it's coming, where it's going, and it ain't none of your business. But it'll become made manifest when it's ready. We left that day. I didn't speak to Walter. He didn't speak to me. We just, you know, basically shook hands. I thought to myself, I didn't say anything to him. I thought, I ain't coming back here. There's no profit. Well, I didn't know it. He was thinking the same thing. We didn't talk for that week. I don't know. I think y'all met Sunday at your house or at Roy's house or something like that. I went to a church I'd heard of in Bluefield. I picked the bad luck. Well, no, actually it wasn't. It was good luck. I was there on Father's Day, Mason. And this guy supposedly does believe a little bit of the truth. I don't, maybe did. But he preached a message on Father's Day, but that was not what I needed to hear. I mean, really, that was not what I needed to hear. And I told him I was a little disappointed in it, you know. And I left. After that, I called Walter, and we got together, and that's when we started Brown's Road. Joined Mab Scott later. Walter, I meant to bring it. I looked up, I found that old bulletin. 1992, we moved into this building. We've been here ever since. And nothing happens, we're still going to be here. Yeah. I forgot where I was. Now, this was not, as far as Walter and I are concerned, this was not a defining moment of our lives. It wasn't. This was us being who we are. Who we were at that time and who we are now. Now, if I was doing it again, I might do it a little different. But I'm not as dumb as I used to be either, thank God. There is a growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That night had an impact on our lives. But actually, that night was disappointing. It wasn't defining for me. That night I found out these people I thought had been worshiping with me, the same God of the Bible, the same Christ of the Bible, were not.
Right, they matter. That's what you
mean. And that's an eye-opener.
Yeah, it is.
It is. That night was a defining moment in their lives. And whether they know it or not, it was let out of the bag. They hate the Christ of the Bible.
That was it right there.
And he said it right here. He that hateth me hateth my Father also.
Yeah.
If you hate the Christ of the Bible, you hate God.
Right.
Bible facts, Mason.
Yeah.
Bible facts.
Facts.
If you hate Christ, you hate God.
Right. Right.
Where is it? Christ said it. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. It ain't because of you. It ain't because of you. It ain't because of you. It ain't because of me. It's because if you speak the truth of Christ and lie not, they'll hate it. They'll hate him and they'll hate you. For my name's sake. Because, here's the reason why. They know not him that sent me. They don't know God. And churches are full of people and preachers that don't know God. They hate because they don't know. They don't hate because they know. They hate because they don't know. They hate because they do not know the one who sent Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He that hateth me hateth my Father. They hate the Father and the Son. They hate Christ and the one who sent him. They hate Christ. And because of that, they all hate you. And they'll hate you because you love the Christ they hate. It's amazing. If you lied about God, they love you. I see it every day. The biggest and best buildings you ever saw in your life are paid for because people love to hear lies about God. They eat it up and they'll pay money to go there because it makes them feel better. It scratches an itch they got. And they'll pay for it. And by golly, them preachers will make sure you pay for it too. They're good at it. You don't get that building that big because you're not good at something. If you lied about God, they'd love you. But since you don't, chapter 16, verse 2 says they'll put you out of synagogues, churches. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God service. I didn't know it, man. In the midst of that mess, Walter heard somebody say, let's hang him up by a tree. Hang him up at a tree. I'm glad I didn't hear that part. He told me about it later.
That's why I didn't
go. There you go. I mean, we were dumber then than we are now, but we weren't that dumb. But now, the cheerful part. I didn't read this at the beginning. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The reason he calls it the Comforter is because it's a comfort. The Holy Spirit is a comfort to the people of God. He takes the things of Christ in this book and shows them to us. He'll take the preached word, if it's truthful to the book, and revealing Christ and show it to us. It was so much better when we got off by ourselves, Walter. And I hear Walter preach the truth of God in Christ without lying. And you know, I could sit in that building, a little apartment where Chad and Pam live now, and I could sit there through the whole service and I wouldn't have to shake my head once. Unless I was laughing or something. But I didn't have to disagree. And then we joined up with MAPSCOT and it got even better. Met some more people who love God, who love Christ. This happens. Now, usually you don't have a whole church mad at you at one time. But it can happen with your family. It happened with my family. But after the church thing, it wasn't so bad. Luckily, my family wasn't saying, let's shoot him or anything. They were just saying, shut up. And eventually I did. And we don't talk about it anymore, and we get along fine. But I still remember it. And by God's grace, I'll never forget it. And by His grace, I'll still love and believe and speak of the Christ of this Bible. And tell the truth of Christ and lie not to the best of my ability. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this place, this time. We are thankful for your Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which you have given to your people to teach us of you, to learn of you and the mind of Christ, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask. Amen.